Welcome everyone. Welcome everyone to Speak Before I Think. I am the host, Jack Thaddeus, and here today I have Ash Redhorse and the Midnight Suns.
Howdy.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Would you guys like to go around and say your names?
Sure. I'm Ash Redhorse.
I'm Kieran.
I'm Will.
And Scott.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into it. Who are you guys?
Well, we are Ash Redhorse and the Midnight Suns. Clearly Ash Redhorse.
Midnight Suns. All three of them.
Yeah, all three of them. Yeah, no, we're an indie rock band out of Fort Collins. And yeah, we just hit our 3-year mark in September of being a band. Wow. So yeah,
that's cool.
Pretty exciting.
Nice. So how did you guys all like find each other?
So funny enough, I was like kind of doing some solo stuff under a different moniker. And I met Scott through my buddy Dawson, who was like a producer of mine. And Dawson was playing in Scott's old band, Muckluck. And so that's how we met. And I ran into Nate from Los Toms. And played like a house show. And he was like, hey man, do you want to be a part of this festival? And I was like, sure. Like I had not really played in a band in like 5 years at that point. So so I asked Muckluck essentially to be in the band for that show. And after the show, yeah, we just kind of became Ash Redhorse and the Midnight Suns. And so Scott's an original member along with me. And then these are our two newest additions,
nice.
Kieran and Will. So,
nice. So, what's everyone's role? What do you guys do?
So, I'm the rhythm guitarist and vocalist.
Okay.
I'm the bassist.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I play lead guitar and I play drums.
Nice. So, I guess, tell me a little bit more. I kind of want to know all your guys' little histories within music.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I guess we'll start with the Ash Redhorse.
Yeah, so, I mean, so I used to have a project called Josh Hartco, and because Josh is my real name, so
nice.
It's just, you know, I go by Ash these days. But it was like a hip-hop R&B kind of project that I was working on, and Dawson was making a lot of my beats at the time. So, I tried to do, like, a solo career with, like, writing songs and stuff and playing guitar, but then like it just wasn't ever working out, so I was like about to quit making music, and then we got offered that house show which we met Nate at, and then the rest is history, so we're going strong now.
Hell yeah. Well, what about the rest of y'all? What's the histories with y'all?
Not much of a history. I just always loved music. I wasn't in a band until with Ash. I would just play solo open mics, and like I was always kind of uncomfortable playing solo because I can't sing or, you know, like I didn't want to just do instrumentals, so I would just look up backing tracks of songs and like play them at the bar and, you know, just like shred over it. But yeah, other than that, nothing major. I played in percussion band in high school, and yeah, just more of a music lover than, you know, experimenting when I was younger.
Nice. Who's next?
Well, I've only been in one band prior to this. It was, or technically two bands, but I used to live in Ohio, and me and some buddies out there, we were doing this like kind of psychedelic rock thing. We were called Velvet Tongue. We never played any shows, but it was a good time. We just like jammed out. Our lead singer, his dad was like a pastor at some church that we just like practice in, like in the middle of the night. It was kind of funny, just like, you know, goofing off in the middle of a church when none of us were really super involved in all that, you know. And it was a good time, and then I moved out here. I was in another project for a while, Dumpster Head. We were like a 5-piece punk indie thing, and we broke up a couple months ago, just like different paths in life kind of thing. And I met Ash when I started working at the Alley Cat, and went on tour with them this summer, and they offered me the full-time job, so it's pretty good.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So I guess, I mean, I did like high school marching band and like concert band, that kind of stuff, but I didn't really play in like a rock band until college. I met a buddy, Hank, and he and I started a band called Disturbance Happens. Ran that with our buddy Ben for a while, and then we became Muckluck, and then ran with that, and then that band unfortunately broke up, and then around the time I was joining Ash, and so it kind of just kept going.
Nice. Yeah. So are you guys all like Fort Collins natives, or did you guys all kind of just end up here?
I'm a Colorado native. I grew up in Aurora.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I've been in Fort Collins for, I think, a collective of like 6 years. I've moved back and forth a lot, but yeah.
What brought you to Fort Collins?
I wanted to start a band. So like I moved up here in 2016 to start a band with some buddies of mine from high school. And we started a band. We never actually had a concrete name. So, but we played, they were in a fraternity. So we played like their fraternity show. And that was the only show we ever played. So, we broke up after that. Just like, it would just be like, we'd be at practice and smoking cigarettes and weed all the time. So like, we never actually practiced really. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what are we doing? So we just stopped. Yeah.
Okay, well, what about y'all?
I'm from New York originally.
No way!
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just came here for CSU, and then was at CSU for a year, left for... I'm so glad I left. Fuck that shit.
What did you major in?
Tourism.
Tourism?
Natural resources and tourism.
Oh, okay.
Like hospitality. But yeah, I was not into it whatsoever. I was taking bullshit classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But miss New York. Love it here so much. Like, the community here is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Especially music-wise. Like, they can't get any better.
Where in New York were you? Like New York, New York? Or
I was like 30 minutes north of New York City.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, just like small town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So do you feel like there's like a bigger difference here? Or what's the difference?
Massive, yeah. Honestly, when I first moved here, I've told all these guys this story, but I went to Pizza Cosmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "Hi, how are you? Like, how was your day?" And I was like, huh?
None of your business. What are you
doing? I was just confused. Like, I've never had that much, like, almost affection in, like, a restaurant from, you know.
Yeah.
Usually it's just like, here's your shit. Like, mm-hmm. Your but yeah, I was, like, suspicious. But, you know, I learned to love it. You get used to kindness very quickly. And
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I love it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm originally from Ohio. There's, like, this smallish town called Findlay. There's a university there. Not too much else. There's a good punk scene in the area, but I would just go to like shows with the homies, and I came out here for the music. It's been great ever since.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So, like, out of all of them, was it just like throw a dart at Colorado, or is there a reason for Fort Collins?
So I've always wanted to live in Colorado. I came out here when I was like 8 years old, and have just never stopped thinking about it since, really. And a friend of mine, she moved out here a year before I did, and then I was able to like get in on a house with her and my sister when we both moved out here. It was just a good connection, and then I really found out how great like the local Fort Collins music scene was, because I was just kind of thinking, you know, with Denver being right there, I could go down there, but then I realized just how vibrant it was still up here, and it was really beautiful.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now what about you?
My dad was Navy, so I lived in a bunch of different places, but I grew up mostly in Virginia, and then when I graduated high school, I moved out here for college, and I've just stayed since. So I'm almost in like 10 years now.
Nice. So I'm a little curious, so what does like rehearsing look for you guys?
Oh dude, it's so chill.
Yeah. We all live together, so we'll just like come downstairs and just chill out in the living room.
Yeah.
Drink beer.
Pretty much, yeah. We have like a rehearsal space and like... Mm-hmm. One of our living rooms, yeah, I mean, they all, like, Scott and I have been living together for about a year prior to this, so but then these two just moved in to our house, so now it's just like super easy. So it's like rehearsal is literally just like, all right guys, we're meeting at like 7:30 ish, and we'll just practice for like, you know, usually just a set that we're running next, and then
mm-hmm.
that's it. But yeah, we'll drink beer. They smoke weed, I don't.
Fair.
sometimes
most of the time.
You guys are like the rarest for hearing rehearsals. Everyone else is always like, you know, when it's like a blue moon every Thursday every 4 years, mm-hmm. we are able to. So it's nice that you guys are able to
sometimes we still do that.
Yeah. I mean,
Otherwise, it won't be in the house, you know, getting groceries. But like, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck, I mean, open another one.
It's one of those things where it's like, I mean, I don't like to believe in overpracticing. Like, it depends mm-hmm. on how big I perceive our next show is, you know, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that because I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, we didn't practice a lot for the show we played at your venue. But it's like, you know, for like our album release shows, like those were pretty rigorous trainings, you know, of us just like, all right,
two
cool.
2 days a week, almost.
Full
rehearsal.
For like maybe like a month of just like getting new songs down. And like our last album release show, we incorporated a new vocalist and a rhythm guitarist as well. So like she was playing with us for that show specifically. And then like we had two saxophone players. Only one of them could ever make it to the practices. So it was literally just like, oh, and we brought Dawson, our old keyboard player, back for that show too. So it was like we brought in so many people for this one show. And so it was like a month of just like rehearsal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than that, it's like sometimes we'll be like, practice once, like, yeah, we're good. And I think it became a lot easier after we like went on tour together, you know, because mm-hmm. we practice a lot before tour, and then it's like you're playing, you know, a show almost every day, you know, but maybe it'd be a couple days in between. And so it's like you just got so used to just running those same songs. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I feel like we stay sharp enough and we practice consistent enough that it's like I don't feel like we're ever like really losing anything if we take a little bit more time. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like your guys's. It's definitely more laid back, but also more fluid approach for this. Mm. Speaking of album releases, you guys had what is it, Escaping Eden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in May.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little curious about the process behind that. So like the writing, the message, all of it, the touring, I want to hear everything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So writing, so I mean, as I mentioned before, like I wanted to do a solo kind of career in the past, and always with the intention that I wanted to be in a band eventually, but it was always like me writing music just with my acoustic guitar. And like I'd, you know, come up with some chords, put my phone out and like hit voice memos and record like kind of freestyle lyrics over something and then kind of just structure it from there. But that was kind of like the most I'd ever really got to. So like I'd play songs and like learn them really well and then just keep them as recordings on my phone and like never did anything with them. And that was probably starting in 2014. And so some of the songs on Escaping Eden are from 2014, 2015. 2018, you know what I mean? Like, it's just been a long amount of years. And as I said, I almost quit making music. So it's like, they just kind of sat forever. Mm-hmm. And then once we kind of started doing shows, it's like, oh, cool. Like, well, let's bring all these songs back together. And I always envisioned album one, Escaping Eden, and album two, which we'll be releasing next year, to be like part one, part two of a story.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so I'm really excited for album two to come out. I mean, it's going to be really, really cool. But yeah, other than that, it was just like we work with Studio Nile as like a local engineer in town, and he has a studio in his basement. And so we met him at a gig, and like happy we rolled the dice with him because like he kind of just approached us like, hey man, you guys are sweet. Like I've got a studio in my house, and I was like, okay, but he actually turned out to be like the best fit for us. And mm-hmm. so like he produced all of album one and like, you know, the Hardcore Boys single, I Liked You Before single, and Runaway single. So, but yeah, it was just kind of doing that for a few months of just like recording. And we had our original bass player JP, who's no longer here, he moved to Washington, but he and Scott had to record like 17 songs in the span of like 4 sessions of like just getting drums and bass final takes done before JP moved. But I was like, okay. So I just like, we had like a few songs done with him, but I was like, I don't want to interrupt the majority of both of these albums with like adding new bass players, because since JP we've had another bass player before Kieran. So it's like, I'm glad I did it, but like we're still having to make additions, like, mm-hmm. you know, with new songs or like changing how we play it live to like now putting that on the record. So but yeah, that's kind of the process, but I'm sure they can elaborate more on what it was like for them. But
yeah, give me the deets.
And yeah, JP and I in like 4 sessions literally just like from like what, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
For like a month, every Saturday we were there just ripping. And like some of the songs we didn't even know, like they were just demos still to us, like they were Ash's work before. And then we were trying to make band versions of them, and so he and I are just like messing around in the studio, and then we're just like, "Ooh, okay, that groove works, all right, let's just rip that," and then it works on the track. We're like, all right, done, that one's done, move to the next one. Like,
yeah.
And we just cranked out so many. And it was funny because I hadn't heard those songs in forever, and then we actually did an album listening party once we actually had the album released. And like sitting there listening to it with Dawson and stuff, we're like, wait a second, that was what we did? I didn't remember doing that. Like, that's crazy. Just like, that was just a one and done. Just, we ripped it and then that was perfect, so we moved on and didn't even think about it. And it's just cool to see like how that time and like it fermented and it became something great, you know. It really came out good, in my opinion.
That's pretty good. Say so. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
So what did touring look like for you guys?
Dude, touring was
incredible.
The greatest thing ever. Like, you know, we have a good friend in the band Shadow Work from Denver, and like I kind of look at them as like kind of like, you know, an inspiration and like kind of the big brothers to us, because like they tour probably 10 times a year.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's
like,
crazy.
I've literally, like, you know, sometimes it's like a 2-week tour, sometimes it's like a weekend, but like I think they just got back from tour like 2 days ago, and that tour was probably like 2 weeks of them just going through the Pacific Northwest and coming back. So they just do it all the time. And so, I mean, he had warned me so much of like, man, like, you know, just be careful, like, you know, be prepared for this and this and this. And like, I kept all that in mind, but like I planned as much as I could without like ever being any a part of any kind of touring thing. And like, we took about like $1,200 and we did like a 10-day tour through California up to, you know, Portland and Seattle and then Salt Lake City and came back. And like, dude, it was just the best. It was just like being free. And like, you know, we, I had known Kieran because we had worked in the same building, but like we had never like really hung out very often. And it was just like the perfect fit for all of us. Like spending that much time together, like we didn't fight a single time. It was great. Like it was just like, just bliss, dude.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Like, I don't know. Like, we have some crazy stories, but like, what was it like for you guys?
Lots of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
His first. Also his first.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Holy shit.
So I've had Uncrustables up to that point, but never like a homemade, like, just like knife.
A regular sandwich. This whole time I thought you meant first tour.
Well, no. It was all of our first tour.
That's awesome then.
Yeah.
But how was the peanut butter and jelly? Did you like it?
Better than the tour.
It was the best part.
No, it was alright. I didn't really like the bread. There was little seeds in the bread.
Ooh, that's fancy.
That's what I like. You know, but
I like the corporate thick white bread.
Yeah.
Wonder bread.
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
Yeah, Wonder Bread.
There was like only one bad thing that happened on the whole tour, which was great. if you only have one bad thing, that's a good 2 weeks.
It's pretty good.
But we were at our last show in Portland, and we were all just like chilling outside the venue. It was decently busy city street, and our truck was parked right there because we just had like a truck and a U-Haul trailer that we brought along the way, and there was just this woman who was I don't know. She seemed to be on something for sure, and just like walking down the street, and then she stops like next to our truck and starts like stabbing at our tire with a knife. It was insane. Absolutely insane.
The sun was still up.
Yeah. And we were just like standing right there.
Holy shit.
And there's this dude at the venue who's like, "Hey, isn't that your guys' truck?" And we just turn and like see this all going down. So we're like, "Yo, what the fuck?" And she like turns and like points the knife at us and just walks away. It was so weird.
Yeah, luckily nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
We were parked on a hill. It looked like kind of like a weird like skewer. I don't know. It was like a really small knife.
But yeah,
just weird. She just started stabbing the tire, and I like confronted her. I was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Please stop stabbing my truck." And she just kind of like brandished the knife at me and then like walked away, and it was fine. So, yeah.
the sound dude that night though, he was cracked out on so much cocaine. It was wild. And like all the people who worked at the venue warned us before about him. They're like, he does not listen to anything. It was just a crazy night, honestly. Yeah. Almost fell off the stage.
I almost fought the sound guy.
Holy shit. Wait, what happened with that?
Nothing really. I was just trying to get his attention. You know, I was like tapping him on the shoulder while he was messing with my amp and stuff. And I was just trying to get his attention, and he just would not turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just so care. Close, just being like, like with the guitar.
Pay attention. But I would say overall, tour was the best, man. Like, fantastic. I think life has been not as fun since we came back. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's got to be like one of the back into reality.
Yeah. I mean, like we just had like very limited money, but like it was literally just the four of us in a truck just driving around, you know, the West Coast. And I don't know, like I think it's a good sign to me because like that means we just want to get back to it, you know. So big plans for next year, hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, but now I'm a little more curious about the other stories. You guys said you had all kinds of stories.
I mean, like, let's see. I don't know. That may have just been it. But
well, I mean, so first night that we got into Portland, we showed up at our host's house. Ben and Ashley, they were both fantastic. And this man walks out of the house, just like pointed beard, really tall, completely bald, covered in tattoos and like the biggest gauges you've ever seen, and like absolutely dripped out in like a full suit. It was incredible. Yeah. And we're just like, what on earth? Because we just pulled up out of, you know, I don't know, 12 hours of driving, something like that.
Well, we were driving from California, from like Truckee. So yeah. Like it was about 12 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were like heading immediately to our show. So like we go play the show and then we go back like to Ben's house, and we'd brought a couple of bottles of, Spring 44 liquor. That's where Scott works. So it's, you know, completely free. And Ash drank, I think, probably half the bottle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not home. Just what, me. Like, Will and I and Ben.
But you guys finished the bottle.
Yeah, no. It was
but gone. Half of it was probably you.
Oh, maybe. Well, Ben, you know, what a great guy. I think, like, the benefit we had...
his phone.
The benefit on tour was that, like, you know, we didn't have to pay for a single hotel. Like, we happened to, really like... Nice. Like, Ben hosted us for 4 days because we had our first night in Portland, and then we had 2 days off, and then our last night in Portland. So we stayed at his house for 4 days, and that was really cool. But, you know, we're just... Our first tour, you know, we're, like, kind of all bright-eyed and like, oh, let's just go do it. So, you know, we're just meeting strangers, and he just happened to be, like, a really nice guy. And, like, his partner Ashley was really cool, too, so... But we just, like, got there and, like, you know, we had our U-Haul trailer and we're like, hey, man, it's really nice to meet you. Like, but we're, like, you know, basically getting naked in the street, changing so we can, like, go to our next show. And they're like, all right, cool, we'll see you in a bit. So we get back and, like, you know, here I am thinking that, like, I can drink him under the table, which I was wrong. But it's, like, 5 a.m. and, like, we're wandering around, walking outside, like, and it was really, really great. But I was just so drunk, man. It was tough. So the more, like, probably the worst hangover I've ever had was the next day, but luckily we didn't have to do anything. So
he tried to catch a cat.
Oh shit.
Like running in lawns.
Yeah. I definitely, I ran up to someone's like almost at a front door. I was like, come here, kitty. Just like running. But I was just so drunk.
I remember you being like, I looked away and then I looked back, you're like under their truck. You're like,
yeah. And they were definitely just staring at me from the living room window. And I was like,
uh-oh. So it goes.
Yeah. So that's definitely a story. I don't know. He cooked us some good dinner on one of the nights. Yeah. I think Truckee was really fun. Like small town in California, right by Lake Tahoe. Like Will has a buddy out there that let us stay with her. And so that was really cool. Seattle, got to play at Rabbit Box Theater, which was pretty cool. Like that's like right under Pike Place Market. It's like in that huge complex. So, and then I don't even know, man, it's like just a lot of playing shows and just driving ridiculous hours. Because I mean like even our Salt Lake City show, like I had someone help me with booking, but we lost communication with the Salt Lake City place. So like when they reached back out to me, I was like, oh yeah, I assumed it was in like Seattle. So I was like, yeah, we'll play that show. And it's literally the next day after our last Seattle show. So and I was like, oh man, like that's so far. So we literally finished at like 12:30 at Blue Moon Theater in Seattle, and then we were like, all right, let's drive to Utah. So
heck at it.
Yeah, so we got there and man, that was tough. We all showed up looking like just crap. Just tired, but it was fun, man. Like I think even by that time we were driving home that night, we were like, I could keep going, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
So and then we came back here to play at the Atrium for my birthday. I hosted like a birthday festival, like a mini festival.
Oh, that's so fun.
So we had 7 bands playing. It was like Shadow Work, the FNGs, Jesus Christ Taxi Driver, Rose Bay, and Bitch Flower.
Nice. Ourselves.
So like it was a really fun night.
Yeah.
It was really crazy. So that's and that awesome. Was like our first tour, man. So it was pretty sweet.
Oh, that's exciting. I actually I'm interviewing Bitchflower Sunday.
Nice.
They're so excited.
Cool.
Yeah, they're also amazing. Like the nicest people too. Mm-hmm. So.
That's what I keep hearing. That's what Crooked Rugs kept on saying. And
yeah, yeah.
Just keeps making me more and more excited.
It just turns out they're just really mean.
You guys are setting me up.
No, they're all
they make me cry on my own podcast.
No, they're the sweetest people, man. So yeah, that'll be fun.
That's awesome. So what is each one of you guys' biggest takeaways, especially from going on tour?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I think for me it's just that, like, you know, I feel like that it was, even though it was kind of half-assed, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I can only prepare for so much that I don't know what's going to happen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so if I'm ever feeling that way, I'm always just like, well, we'll just wing it and see what happens. And I've done that for most of my life, and I think most of the time it works out pretty okay. And I think that just tells me that we were on the right track. And, like, you know, having Kieran with us, like, just knowing, I was like, oh, this is our guy, you know what I mean? So it was just keep chasing it, man. Like, if you want to do mm-hmm. something, just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just, like, I don't know, seeing the prospects and, like, the potential that I think we have just as a group of individuals. Like, it was such an efficient tour, and we all worked really well together. Mm-hmm. And I just think that, you know, if we keep pushing that, you know, not to toot our own horns, but this could be something pretty cool.
Oh, easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
My takeaway from tour is never trust a woman with a knife and listening to 80s music.
Yeah. I mean, very true.
Yeah.
Maybe also not being on drugs.
I just love playing music. I love playing music with these fellows. It's the best. And, you know, we just love, like, I got so much inspiration on tour with just the sights and all the people. And, mm-hmm. you know, all the venues were so cool and different. Like, the one in Utah was the most rustic bar you've ever seen. It was really massive cool. and mm-hmm. cowboy people. And, yeah, and then in Seattle, it's just, like, this very, like, almost avant-garde, like, fancy, mm-hmm. you know, like, chandeliers everywhere, beautiful statues and sweet staff. Like, yeah, it just totally opens your eye up to different possibilities. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I'm just excited for more.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway from tour is if you're open, people will be open. Mm-hmm. Like, we showed up everywhere with us, all four of us, like, no matter how tired we were, exhausted, how shitty we looked, we showed up with a smile on our mm-hmm. face, and every single person we met was super genuine, nice, and wonderful, mm-hmm. and just helped us, and we helped them, and we just made every show happen, and then move on, and then we left. Mm-hmm. And, like, we got to stay with people because we didn't have to spend money. Like, we just met so many amazing people mm-hmm. on a 2-week span that it was just, like, really opened my eyes. Because you get, like, kind of stuck in the small town kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. You just see the same people every day. And then, you know, you just see, like, a clique that's not part of your group. And you're just like, oh, what are they doing over there? You got to kind of think about those things. Being in a bigger city like Seattle and Portland, you know, there's so many people. It was just mm-hmm. awesome. Like, yeah, everyone was just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, you know, I think touring is always, like, a huge step for bands, and I mean mm-hmm. deciding in, like, even how you guys move forward and if you'll move forward, because I mean I've heard stories from other people at times that are just like, yeah, dude, like, it was, like, the worst thing ever, like, we didn't get along, or, you know, people didn't like us, like, kind of stuff. And so I just feel very fortunate that we were received really well everywhere we went, you know, because, like, we have a pretty decent following in Fort Collins, you know, but, like,
oh yeah,
I mean, it's a unique place, and, like, everyone here is usually really good at what they're doing, so it's mm-hmm. like, It just worried me because I didn't want to feel like I was living in kind of an echo chamber of being, like, in a good community where everyone's, like, nice and, you know, talented, that, like, if we left, that's like, oh, these guys fucking suck. Like, you know, and with us being, like, I'd say, like, pretty different in a lot of ways than a lot of the bands here, I worry about that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really a problem that we face because, like, I mean, people are definitely open to so many different genres of music here, but, I mean, you know, even just going to Denver, it's like, we sometimes feel a little bit of that, like, oh, yeah, like, you guys aren't, you know, heavy, you guys aren't, like, punk, you guys aren't like this, so it's mm-hmm. just like, but even then, those people still kind of come around to, like, that was really cool. So it's like, it's just that kind of, like, weird, maybe slight insecurity, you know, of, like, overcoming that and seeing that, like, oh, man, like, this feels like playing music for the first time. Mm-hmm. every night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that same feeling of like, oh man, like, you know, because like I have friends here, I have people here, fans here that like come up to us, they come to all of our shows, and I love that. But it's like they've seen these songs probably 20 times, you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. it's like seeing someone hear our music for the first time and not a single other person having probably heard what we do at all is like just really cool. So yeah.
No, you guys are awesome. I actually, because I'm a part of the Music Business Collective, so.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys came to the Jams, or the Ram Scholar.
Yeah,
It was really good. You guys are good. What state do you guys think you resonated with the most?
For me, it was definitely Washington. I think Seattle was just, I don't know, just the best. I've always had an affinity for Seattle, though. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, since probably 2017, when I went out there for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, man. It's just so big. It's expansive. And, like, the scene doesn't feel too different from this place. Mm-hmm. And, like, where everyone's pretty welcoming. And to be fair, we were kind of tapped into more of the singer-songwriter scene on this tour. So it's, like, I'd love to see what that's like with more of the band scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Seattle was definitely my favorite.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Portland. It was just very gritty feel. It reminded me a lot of, like, the Midwest and Columbus. Like, that was a place that I'd always go with my friends for a lot of punk shows. I don't know, it's just cool and gray. That's very Ohio.
Yeah.
I left for a reason for sure, and I don't know if I'd ever go back, but you know, Portland was just cool. Nice. Good people.
I second Seattle. I just thought, like, at least from my point of view, it was just so diverse in people, which I really mm-hmm. thought was cool. Yeah. Reminded me a lot of New York. And just the layout of the city was, to me, it's like strange. It's like really hilly. And like the streets are super tight. And yeah, also just the venues we played there were definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
There's the it was called the Rabbit Box in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was like right by the water. Bunch of great seafood places and just cool people and lovely sunsets. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, no, I definitely love Seattle. I've always feel like Seattle's the perfect mix if like Colorado and New York had a baby, especially because like
perfect, mm-hmm, yeah,
because it has like that cityscape, but literally on almost every single building is like a whole garden, and there's like all kinds of vines and stuff just growing on it. Totally. It's so green.
It was like a European feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's patios.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, what about you? What was your state?
I don't know. I'd like to say Seattle, like, but I'm very curious about how we were received in California. We were only there for one night, but just the bar we were playing at, like, but we unfortunately missed, like, the big crowd. Mm. We played a little too early, I think, just the way that we were booked. Because by the time, like, it was packed, we were wrapping up our set, and everyone was loving it. They were going hard, like, people were like moving through the areas to get closer by the band and like be by the door. And just, it was cool to see that, like, oh, like, because we showed up to California after like 14 hours of driving. And like, one of us were like, all these goddamn Californians, like, get out of my way. And then we're actually playing in front of them, and they were really wonderful and amazing people, and they just wanted to have fun. And we're like, I'm actually very curious to hit more of California and see those other sides, because it's such a massive state. Like,
oh, yeah.
And where we were, it was like a movie scene. It was crazy.
Yeah. The houses were all just like beautiful, and, you know, thick trees everywhere. It was crazy.
It was really cool. Mm-hmm. I think we'd definitely go back to Truckee for sure.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
What would you guys add on to the next round?
Ooh.
At least the places you'd like to play.
Boise. Mm-hmm. I think Boise is like a, you know, it's kind of blowing up in a lot of ways. So just like the local scene there. And so like hopefully we get to play Tree Fort. That'd be really sweet. Tree Fort Fest. but that's just definitely what I would like to add. And I think, like, I'm happy that our tour was as short as it was, even though it was, like, 10 days. But, I mean, just because, like, it was just a fun, perfect dose of, like, damn, like, we wanted to do it again. We wanted to do more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if it was maybe too long, we probably would have been like, I'm ready to go home. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So, but Boise would be a fun one for sure. And, like, I mean, also, like, L.A., somewhere in LA.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be really cool. So, you guys have any?
San Diego.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just more California.
More of California. We just need to do an entire California tour.
That'd be so sweet.
Yeah. It's like 1 week, a show every night.
True. I'd be down. Yeah. Let's do it right now.
Okay. I have bags. We're going.
Actually,
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd want to play. Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I really want to play up at Horsetooth.
Like, that would be sick. Like,
free show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a pontoon boat.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him. It's a surprise. And
that's all I can say.
You heard it here, folks.
It's a secret.
I got the exclusive scoop.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying, you know, if you see a pontoon boat, just maybe look a little harder.
And don't call
you
the
might
cops.
See a horse on that. Just maybe.
Yeah. Do you have any additions?
I don't know. I'm really looking forward for us to do like a Southeast tour. You know, really just go through different areas of this country. Like, I don't know, the music scene down there is going to be very different from the other places we've been. So,
yeah,
it'll be a challenge, but it'll be fun to show them what we got and, you know, see how well we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. I mean, the South is like such an interesting aspect for it. Because, I mean, if you haven't seen us live, like, we oftentimes will just cowboy up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the very beginning of like us being a band, people were so confused. They were like, what is happening? Because like, you know, they're like expecting country music because obviously we're cowboyed up, but then like we'd just be, you know, singing like really sad boy, like beautiful indie rock. And so like, I don't know, but I think people are kind of getting, not I would say over it, but like it's not as surprising to them now. So it's like pretty cool. But I mean, the South would be interesting because it's like we are still going to be cowboyed up. Mm-hmm. But doing the same thing, but it might mean something different to them.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, but I think that I just want the music to always just speak for it. And, like, I love that us being dressed up as cowboys is just kind of, like, how we present ourselves. And it's, like, not everything, but, like, it is, a memorable piece of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. So, beyond, like, just the shock factor, is there another reason behind that aesthetic?
Yeah, so I'm half Navajo, and so, like, cowboy culture kind of became a huge part of like Native American culture, you know? Mm-hmm. So just kind of growing up, like, I don't know, even like with music, like I never really thought as a kid that like, this is what I'd want to be doing. And like, I never thought I'd want to drive a truck and I never thought I'd want to be like a cowboy. I never thought I'd like horses, but like it all kind of just happened, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but it definitely has roots. Like a lot of my family on the reservation, like they don't always like look exactly how we look, but like I kind of just made it more of a fashionable, you know, kind of imitation of like what it's like on the reservation.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I am very curious. You guys obviously have wonderful synergy between each other. What do you guys think kind of like plays into that?
They're all hot, dude.
Yeah.
It's that kinky.
I don't know, man. It's like for me, I just like, we've had a lot of members in our band, you know, mm-hmm. you know, that have been in the band before. And it's not even always about like the talent. It's about just the vibe. Yeah. You know mm-hmm. I mean, if like we can hang out and if I can feel like, you know, we can just be like really good friends because mm-hmm. I mean, a band is basically just a friendship, if not some kind of like a relationship in a way. So it's okay. Like just having that chemistry is just the most important thing. So I don't mm-hmm. know, like we're all kind of like weird and, you know, we're all pretty chill.
Yeah.
But I feel like we all have very unique personalities and like, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like we all kind of fit a role of like a sitcom in a way, you know? So it's really cool. It's like, it's really nice. That's just how I see it. It's just kind of a natural magnetism towards each other.
Yeah. I just feel like it's, we're all not afraid to, you know, just really be, you know, completely our authentic selves.
Yeah.
You know, not to sound cheesy or cliche or anything, but, mm-hmm. you know, I think when we're all hanging out, it's, we're all 100% there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Hell yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. Nice, you
know? Yeah, we're all weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speak for yourself.
I'm curious.
We all have, I'd say, you know, we all like enjoy similar music, but mm-hmm. I'd say all of us also have very different senses. They're just like, you know, likes in different music and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps. Like I like having friends that are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
if everyone just liked me, like go fuck yourself.
Sorry, yeah.
There's only one in this town. Mm-hmm. Only room for one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd add on to all of that with just the sense of music. Like I think I can speak for all of us. We all want to play. That's why mm-hmm. we get together. That's why we moved into a house together. That's why we. got in a truck and left for 10 days. Like, we all want to go play music, and that really helps driving those decisions and that those schedules and getting those things done.
Yeah.
Scott's actually not our friend. He just, like, is here for the music.
It's our uncle. Yeah.
You guys practice, and then as soon as it ends, straight into his room.
Yeah. Kind of.
How did you know?
Just kidding. No, we have fun.
I love that. So I'm a little more curious then, since you guys have different tastes, what are, like, some of your top favorite artists?
Oh, dude, mine's so easy. Kings Leon.
Oh, yeah.
I tell them every day.
On tour, this dude said that Kings Leon is better than Led Zeppelin.
Get it, say it again.
Say it again.
During the month of July on tour, Ash Red Horse and the Midnight Suns said that Kings of Leon is a better band than Led Zeppelin.
And I stand by it.
Cancel this, dude. Come on.
Damn it.
Ash Red Horse is losing his mind.
Yeah. Do you know how much PR I'm going to do now?
You got the scoop, man. That's it.
That is beeping out.
But yeah, Kings Leon for sure. Local Natives is another huge, like, inspiration for me. And Hippocampus, that's like my top three.
Mm, they're good. They're good.
I've always been, like, super into the punk, and I don't know, at least, like, with some of the stuff that I do on my own, I've been compared to Jeffrey Lewis and, like, kind of folk punk stuff like that. So I really like a lot of that stuff. But then, I don't know, probably favorite artist, at least right now, it's Peach Pit, for sure.
Ooh, they're good.
They just, like, dropped, you know, 3 albums and, like, a new one today, I think. But just 3 albums with no skips at all. It's just incredible.
Yeah, they're so good.
Oh, yeah, it was good. Good listen.
Oh, you listened to it today?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, I didn't listen to the one today. Yeah, listened to, like, the one, I guess, came out right before that one.
Yeah, just, like, just all of their stuff. I really admire them as musicians. Yeah.
Nice.
Growing up, I loved, like, just rock music and whatever my parents loved. And then I dabbled in a little more rap and, like, pop music as I got a little bit older. And, and then I can't stop talking about it, but just the hardcore scene here in Fort Collins to me is so good. And just, like, mainly, I've just mainly been on a local kick. Like, Bitch Flowers, like, my favorite artist right now. Like, they're my favorite band. And, I love Old Skin here in Fort Collins, too. And, the Rugs.
Nice.
Yeah, see, it's hard for me to answer a question like that because I like so many different genres. And I never actually, if people be in my car with me, though, they can attest to this. I never stick to one genre. It's almost like maybe you'll get, like, 2 or 3 songs in the same, and then it'll be switching. But if I had, like, say, like, the first band that ever made me be like, I like drums, I like rock, is CCR, good old Creedence.
Ooh, like, okay.
Douglas Clifford, he just, like, instantly I fell in love with that kind of playing. So I've always liked, like, rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So, like, now I think, if I'd have to say, it's, like, Earthless is my favorite band that I listen to most.
Hell yeah. Very nice.
Dude, Earthless is crazy.
They are.
They're so crazy. Driving down the highway, listen to Earthless is a whole other experience.
Yeah.
I told you.
Just, like, 20-minute songs, crazy guitar.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I love that. So, what advice would you guys kind of have for other people kind of starting up in their own bands, deciding on touring? Any good old words of advice from y'all?
Just go talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, try and be friendly and, you know, be yourself, of course, but just mingle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People cannot be open and people can be very open. It's just, you know, dip your toes into a little bit of life and, you know, try and make some music connections. That's how I met these guys, you know, just random.
Literally met Will at the atrium when I worked there. I wasn't even working that day. I just ran in there. I was just like, heard him talking to one of the bartenders about, like, wanting to play guitar with this other group of people. And I was like, you play music? He's like, yeah. I was like, are you in a band? He's like, no. You want to be in a band? Yeah. I was like, sweet. Come to my house, like, this day. And yeah, so stuff like that. I think especially if you're, like, one person looking to start a band, I think it's, like, kind of probably have songs already. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a good idea to start there. So that way, at least you have something to build on top of, you know? But just, yeah, I mean, go to shows and, like, meet people and mingle and, you know, find people that are, like, a good fit for you that, like, you're comfortable hanging out with, and then you got to jam with them. But I think more than anything, it's just, like, just chase what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And, like, you'll figure it out. Because there's... I've spent so much time looking at, like, interviews and, like, all this kind of stuff from, like, bands and solo artists, and it's all kind of just the same, that, like, it's like that thing where they say, like, oh, like, you'll find love when you're not looking for it. It's kind of like the same thing. It's, mm-hmm. like, you just kind of got to just be in the moment, and you got to mm-hmm. be in the environment to make it happen. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to, like, force things, but, like, just being around those people will help you find the right people, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really all just luck, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a degree.
To a degree. And chance.
Look. Mm. Sounds like manifestation. That's what I feel like that's what it kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I'd say is education. Just make sure you learn the things. Learn the chops. Learn how to... Yeah. Learn some music theory. Mm-hmm. Learn how to actually do the thing. Mm-hmm. So that when you are in that moment and you do have those opportunities presented to yourself, you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. You're not like, oh, well, let me get my stuff together. It's like, no. If sometimes people are like, can you play? And if you can't, well, then they move on, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you could have had that spot and you had those skills mm-hmm. and you knew what you were doing, you're ready to go, then you're good to go. Then you're in it. So,
yeah. That's true.
So see, not only with, like, timing and all that, but mm-hmm. being just physically ready to take those opportunities when they happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so you guys mentioned learning, or at least you mentioned learning. What do you guys think was, like, one of your biggest obstacles as a band that you guys overcame?
Keeping members.
Ash
and I got so many members now.
Yeah. I think, yeah, because honestly, I mean, I don't want to say like it's been easy, but like, I feel like that's kind of just been our main issue, you mm-hmm. know? And thankfully, I finally feel like we are past that now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it was just like, continuous, man. It's like, you know, we lose our keyboard player, and then, like, you know, we lose our bass player, get a new bass player, and then, you know, we had to remove that bass player, and then we got our old bass. It's just like, you know, all these things just happening all the time, and I think that's it, man. It's just keeping members and being able to just keep the train moving, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, I think it's all been pretty easy. And like, the other thing I was gonna say about like advice would be play with people that are better than you, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
Because, like, when I first brought in, you know, Muckluck and them, it's like, I would argue that they were all better musicians than me. It's like, I still don't really know anything about music theory. Like, I taught myself everything I know, but just, like, YouTube videos and, like, remembering what chords are and, you know, stuff like that. So, I literally just was like, all right, guys, I have these songs. I don't know what some of these chords are because I'm playing on a capo. And even if I'm not playing on a capo, I don't know what chord this is, but I found it and it sounds really cool. And so so there was a lot of that. I feel like I've definitely done a lot of learning since then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, if they were worse musicians than me, I don't think this band would have happened. You know what I mean? So play with people that are better than you because they're going to make you better. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I think that's just very important. So you kind of combine that with what Scott's saying. It's like, you know, making sure you're ready for the moment when it comes is kind of like the most important thing, but you also have to put yourself in that position. You know what I mean? So it's all kind of like a sequential thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Nice. Well, let me see. I am a little more curious about Fort Collins. What is Fort Collins to you guys?
Mm. Oh, terrible.
Burn it down.
I think it's really beautiful. I like the trees, I like the mountains, I like the people. Everybody out here is just very kind. That was the biggest thing I noticed when I moved. So in Ohio, you don't talk to people really. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just kind of but then, you know, when I moved out here, I was just walking around the neighborhood, and there's the amount of people who'd like smile or say hi. You know, I wouldn't know any of them. It was just really beautiful, and I think that translates quite a bit into just the scene, and then also the community that I've found myself in. Just very, very kind people at the core.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just can't not keep talking about how good the music scene is here, like, just community-wise, too. Like, all the all the people who go to the shows are so sweet, and, you know, the bands are great. Like, that's my favorite part, is that, you know, you can go anywhere else. I don't want to point any fingers anywhere, but, you know, say there's a show with three bands playing, those three bands won't talk to each other, like, at all. Mm-hmm. They just want to play and, you know, do their own thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's cool. Like, you gotta have your rest time. But, like, here, it's, like, we're all partying. Like, the people going to the shows, all the bands are, like, it's just really great energy around here. And, you know, it's good weather.
Yeah.
Love this traffic.
It never feels like anybody's, like, above anybody else or thinks they're above anybody else. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I really like Fort Collins. It's kind of similar to where I grew up in Virginia, like, kind of like small town vibes, but like has a decent amount of people. We just didn't have the university right there. I think that's the biggest difference. And like having that there and like having all of the benefits of a university and all the events and people it brings, I think it's a really great town and it's served us pretty well so far. I think maybe sometime we might be moving to other places, seek new venues and new communities, but this community here is probably the reason why we're kept going, is because everyone here is so amazing, and encouragement, like the amount of encouragement from other people, like even if you have a bad set on your head, like you think you did terribly, you're gonna have like six musicians talking to you after the show. So like, just keep your head up and keep it going, kind of thing.
Yeah,
dude, that's always the saving grace, man. So like,
it really is.
I'm like, yeah, like it was okay. And they're like, dude, that was like the tightest set you guys ever played. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what's going on? But
and all of their music will just be incredible.
Oh yeah, I mean, dude, like,
yeah, they'll have the same opinion when they get off stage. It's just the circle.
It's just a nice, like, healthy kind of symbiotic environment, which I think is really cool. And I think if we were in a more cutthroat situation, it would have been a lot harder for us to kind of keep our spirits high about, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, why Fort Collins is just such a gem. Like, it's, like, it is, you know, I mean, I don't think anyone's, like, sugarcoating things to be nice, because usually, like, they'll just not say anything if they don't want to say anything. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't have to go up to the guys after a show and be like, that was sick. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. So it's, like, so people don't, as far as I can tell. You know what I mean? So it's really nice. But for me, man, it's, like, this is just the breeding ground of, like, all of my dreams coming true, you know what I mean, and like really just the foundation, and I'm just thankful that it happened here, and like I want to continue to see it like flourish, you know. Because I mean, and it will, you know, I mean, like even when we do eventually move, like it'll still be here, and I'll be excited to see what it is when we come back, you know, like on tour or if we ever just come visit or anything, you know. So it's just a really special place for me that like I'll remember forever, you know, because Aurora sucks. And I think Fort Collins compared to Aurora is just amazing. Like, it's, I don't know. It's like, I mean, if I ever stayed in Colorado again after moving, like, it'd probably just be here.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show. I'm very curious about what we have to look forward for you guys.
Ooh, yeah. So, on Halloween night, we're playing a house show at the Laundry Room House.
Ooh.
So, it's going to be spooky vibes.
Nice.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. But we have our last show of this year. We always like break our seasons up, like in seasons, like it's like, you know, it's a thing I started that I'm just gonna keep going. But it's like, you know, this is season three of Arms, our band, you know. So our last show is on the 14th of November at Surfside.
Nice.
With Rose Bay and touring band North by North from Chicago.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be really fun.
That's gonna be exciting.
I'm excited for that. But yeah, there's that, and then we're taking probably like a 4-month break to finish album two and start, you know, actually writing album three. So we'll be coming back with hopefully some new content and hitting it strong, you know, next year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like any names yet, or have any in mind
for what, like
for the next album?
Oh yeah, yeah. The album art's already done. Like it's,
it's been
done for like a year.
That's so awesome.
The album two is called Songs of Siren. So
ooh, that's a good name.
Yeah, thank you.
So, he's the genius.
Escaping Eden is like the, you know, it was meant to be like what it feels like to fall in love, and then like, kind of feel like how it feels like when love is fading, kind of at the end, you know. So kind of a situation that we've all been in, that, like, you know, you fall in love with somebody and then it kind of starts to kind of teeter out and you're kind of getting worried about it. So album two is just exploring everything that happens after that. So it's gonna be sad boy times. So I'm excited for it, but it's gonna be like, I don't know, we've been making demos recently and, like, you know, really expanding on the ideas, and having album one fully contextualized and released is really nice, because even though, once again, some of those songs are like 8 to 10 years old or whatever, like, it's like I get to kind of approach them with a new mindset of like, oh well, how are we evolving as a band, and like, how do these songs deserve to be evolved and stuff like that. So it's gonna be really cool.
Nice. Wow, I'm so excited for you guys. Well, it was wonderful having you guys on. Yeah, I'm excited to hear the next album. I'm excited to just see what's gonna be new for you guys. I feel like you guys definitely have something special to you. I always remembered when I got to see you guys at the Ram Skeller, and like the fact that I you guys reached out, I was like, oh my god, I felt like a little fan. I was like, oh shit, they wanna be on. So
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great. Of course. But I guess that wraps it up. So thank you guys for watching. This is Speak Before I Think, with Ash Red Horse and the Midnight Suns. And enjoy the rest of your day or whatever you're doing. If you're doing homework, get that finished.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Alrighty.
Wonderful. See you guys. Brilliant. And then the last little tradition I like to do is if I could have you guys sign my table.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do you want individual names or do you want the band?
Yeah, do the band.
Might as well do both.
Okay. Yeah.
There's enough space.
I'll just take this little.
You don't want my signature.
That's okay. There's some bad ones on there.
Yeah, exactly. I could do like a little Elmer emblem.
Babe, do you know where the big Sharpie is? I have not been able to find that.
It's under the entrance.
Wow. Oh, it's right there. Here's the second one, too.
No more mines.
The server's already up, dog. It's still going.
You guys gotta leave the Minecraft alone.